Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Joy, for the invitation, for being here. It's really a pleasure to be back at Ars Electronica. I'll start by saying what I'm not going to talk about. I'm not going to talk about open source. I'm not going to talk about free software. And I'm not going to talk about Creative Commons. I could, but I'm going to talk about something else, which is basically cultural production, especially in terms of music and films, and how this is being changed by technology and by the way technology is being appropriated everywhere, including developing countries. So basically, the topic here is how these unusual places that we can call peripheries are appropriating technology in a very unsuspected way, in a very unusual way, to build their own systems for cultural production and cultural dissemination. So basically, what is going on is that if you go to a country like Brazil, and if you take the largest record label, which is Sony BMG, you will very quickly find out that Sony BMG is releasing only 13 CDs of Brazilian music per year. So if you imagine like Brazil as 186 million people, a lot of them are musicians, the largest record label releases 13 CDs per year. That's nothing. But at the same moment, if you take a look at projects like this one called Trauma Virtual, you will see that this is a space where people can share their music for free. So basically, you can go there and download everything. And they have more than 58,000 artists sharing their content online. Actually, an entire generation of new musicians in Brazil, including the famous band CSS, Cansei de Ser Sexy, some of you might have heard of it, is actually coming from projects like this, rather than coming from the record labels. So this is a big change in terms of how music is being circulated also in Brazil. But the point is, websites like Trama Virtual, they only work for people who have computers. What I'm interested in discussing here is actually what is happening for people who do not have computers. How are they like dealing with the technology, and how are they being benefited or not by these new easy ways to distribute content and to produce content? So for 2 years, we researched four different countries, Nigeria, Brazil, Colombia, and Argentina. And basically, we came up with a very extensive set of results, and we found out things like this one. So if you take the Brazilian state of Pará, as you can see, there is a music scene that is called Tecnobrega. Brega stands for kitschy, it stands for cheesy. So this means like a techno cheesy music. It's very good for dancing, especially for dancing together with a pair. So it's probably one of the very few types of electronic music that you actually dance in a couple. It's quite of interesting. And it's extremely popular, and every year they produce 400 CDs per year. And actually they release also 100 DVDs. And this is 100% a pure kind of electronic music. And the interesting thing is that in spite of producing 400 CDs, if you go to a store, you will not find the Tecnobrega CDs. If you go to a CD store and say, give me a Tecnobrega CD, they will say, no, we don't have any. Because the reason is that the producers of this kind of music actually made a deal with the pirates, with the same people that sell CDs on the streets, in order to distribute their music. So basically, they skipped the intermediaries, and they're actually producing their music so that it can be freely distributed through the pirates. And the funny thing is that they make money throughout the so-called sound system parties, which are big parties, sometimes with 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 people. And it's funny to see there's a true cult of technology on these parties. So like the different sound system companies, they compete to see who has the best equipment, the most updated video and audiovisual musical equipment. And once a year, there is a party in which the new equipment is presented to the public, and it actually comes from the sky, and people clap to it. So it's a very funny experience. If you've never been to a party like this, these are some pictures where you can see the DJs in action. That's the crowd that generally goes to the Tecnobrega parties. This is people doing the symbol of some of the Tecnobrega companies. This is one that is called Super Pop, by the way. So this is the S for Super Pop. This is the party where the equipment comes from the sky. So this is the very moment, you know, everybody's like going crazy, like with the new equipment that is being introduced. And this is the place where the CDs are sold. So actually, the economics of this market is completely different from the economics of the music business, because everything is being sold in the streets through the so-called street vendors, the same guys who sell like pirate materials. But in this case, it's not piracy. It's materials that are being deliberately given to the street vendors so that they can distribute them for free and make these artists famous so that they can make money elsewhere. So the structure of these music scenes, they work basically like this. Everything starts with the bands, DJs, and composers. They actually go to a recording studio and pay the recording studio to record their songs. What happens next is that the bands themselves give the CDs for free to the pirates, to the street vendor distributors. And then from there, the street vendors, distributors sell them to the public. So there is no revenue stream coming from the distributors to the artists. But the funny thing is that the artists actually get paid when they are playing at concert halls. They also get paid when they are playing at the sound system parties. And of course, the public pays these places. And so the revenue stream goes a different way to the bands and the composers. Another thing that we found out is that this is a leveraged market. So there are always like some sort of investor helping people to buy the equipment, sometimes with loans, sometimes like with equity. And it's a very interesting relation. So there is a financial leverage also to these markets. And one of the things that we also found out is that the public buys CDs and DVDs directly from the artists, but after the concerts. And actually, it's a different product. The product where you buy it in the streets, it's a very cheap one. It, like, it costs $1 or $2. It comes in a plastic bag, and that's basically it. And the product that you buy from the artists after the concerts, it's actually a better product. It comes with pictures, sometimes with lyrics, and it costs $4 to $5. So basically, the artists sell a lot of CDs and a lot of DVDs also, but after the concerts. And these markets, they don't compete with each other. They are completely separate in economic terms. The other interesting thing is that these are multi-million dollar markets. So it's extremely wealthy in economic terms. It's actually sometimes even wealthier than the traditional music industry. So they make a lot of money. And there's also a symbolic dimension to it. We made a research in Brazil. It's a national research to figure out what is this the most famous artist in Brazil. And the number one artist there is this band called Calypso. And they are a product of this particular scene. So they had never had media attention. They were never on television. And they are the number one well-known artist in the country. So completely independent from any traditional promotional structure. So this is what's going on. Another scene, which is basically the same structure, is the baile funk scene in Rio de Janeiro. It's very danceable beats. It's becoming internationally known to some artists like MIA. She's playing a lot of songs that are directly inspired by baile funk, as you can see in the Wikipedia entry for MIA. I swear that I didn't write that. It was there already. Like it says that there's this connection between baile funk and MIA. It's funny because you can actually read things like in The Guardian in the UK saying that baile funk might be the most exciting music in the world. It certainly comes from one of its most dangerous places. That's what the article says. And it's true, actually. But the interesting thing is how this musical scene becomes extremely popular locally, and then it gets exported and actually becomes a sort of a symbolic force also outside of the places in which it's originally produced. Okay, so let me talk a little bit about movies as well. A country like Brazil, it releases 51 local movies per year. The United States releases approximately 600 movies per year. What comes next? India. It releases around 900 movies per year. But then there is another country on top of that, which is Nigeria. Nigeria releases 1,200 films per year, films like O Sofia in London or O Sofia in London Part 2. So basically, all the films are sold through DVDs. It's a domestic market. They skip the movie theaters, and basically they sell everything in the streets the same way the Tecnobrega does. It's directly to DVD. So they release 30 new titles per week. The films cost $3 to 50 cents of a dollar. It generates $200 million per year in terms of revenue, what makes Nigeria the third largest revenue generator for films in the world. There is the United States up there, then you have India, then you have Nigeria, and it generates 1 million employments. It's interesting because agriculture is the number one source of employment in Nigeria. Number two is cinema, it's movies. So it's very interesting. I told this story to a very famous Brazilian movie maker, who is actually internationally famous, and he told me that, Ronaldo, this is not cinema. This is something else. You cannot call this cinema. And then I found this article by Henri Langlois, the founder of the French Cinémathèque. He wrote that in 1969, in which he said that the true cinema would only emerge when people actually be able to appropriate the means of production of audiovisual stories and start telling their own stories. He told that in 1969. So I got this article and I sent it to him, and he never replied back to me. So I don't know what he thinks. But I find this non-response very interesting because it really demonstrates that we are talking here about the boundaries of what is cinema and what is not. And this is changing completely and very fast. The other thing is about taste, which is these sorts of music sometimes are perceived as bad taste music. But that's also an interesting thing because the most famous Brazilian music style, which is samba, you might have heard of it, when it started in the 1930s, it was perceived as extremely bad taste music. You didn't want to have anything to do with that. Well, 30 years later, it became our national identity. And basically now, Brazil defines itself as a country of samba, and it's actually been just selected as a national inheritance or something like that. But anyway, the same thing happened with baile funky, with funky carioca scene. When it started in the mid-80s and the early 90s, it was perceived as bad taste music. And then in 10 years, it became sophisticated. Now, if you like baile funky, you are a very cool person in Brazil. So whenever you visit Brazil, you say, I like baile funky. People say, yeah, you know. And basically, now the Tecnobrega thing is the same thing. It started 5 years ago. It was considered bad taste music. But 5 years later, it's already being considered sophisticated. So it started with 30 years for samba, 10 years for baile funky, 5 years for Tecnobrega. So it's changing completely the perception of what is good taste and bad taste music. It's being defined really from the bottom up, and there is no really centralized references about what is good and what is bad anymore. If people like it, it's probably good. So to finish my presentation, basically out of time, I just want to say that this is a global phenomenon. It's not happening only in Brazil. You will see like the mixtape markets in New York and London. It doesn't have to do with anything from developing world or developed world. Both worlds are having the same structure. So styles like grind in the UK, dubstep in London, Miami bass in the United States, hip-hop in Baltimore or Texas in the United States is the same way of production of music. And also styles like kuduro in Angola, bubbling in Suriname, champeta in Colombia, Cumbia Vigera in Argentina, Cueto in South Africa, Coupé de Calais in the Ivory Coast or in France. They're all these new forms of music that are emerging. I wonder if I have 1 minute to play this song. Can I do it? Okay, so one second, because it doesn't make sense for me to talk about this music without playing it. Okay, I'll start with a Baile Funk track, which is this one. I hope you like it. Okay, so a little kuduro from Angola. Yeah. Okay. It's a drier beat. No brega, and then I'll close. That's the last one.
Try it.
That's my favorite, actually. That's the brega part. That's it. Thank you very much.